I saw an article in the paper the other day, and it said that from Chicago, there's this guy named Carter Pfeiffer Madig, who won some sort of international tournament. He's like one of the best backgammon players in the world, and he lives in Chicago. And he plays regularly up on the north side, as I understand it. We invited him to come into our studio. Hi, Carter. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
Where do you live?
I live in Pilsen now.
And so, where do you guys regularly play?
So we play at the Tilted Kilt in Skokie, and we meet every Tuesday, and then occasionally alternate Sunday tournament every 2 months.
So if it was just an amateur, just a guy who says, I'm pretty good, and they don't know what they're talking through their head, could they play with you guys?
Absolutely, and we encourage that. And actually, we have a lot of players who played for a long time. We love bringing new players into the game.
How did you fall into backgammon?
I was 8 years old. My mom's hairdresser on Oak Street, Secondino's Omar, taught me the game. And I knew it a little bit, and then I'd play with friends.
Your mom would be working, and they'd do this to keep you busy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd keep the kids out of the hair, literally. So
yeah, no kidding. So then you started to take to it. But when did you think, oh, I think there's something to my game. I want to be competitive about it.
So the old tournament director, Bill Davis, 20 years ago, I started in the Bar Point Club, and it's the oldest backgammon club in Chicago, 33 years running constantly. And five of the best players in the world were in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. So if you sat down to play with them, what would your chances be of beating them?
Now? Yeah. They're pretty good. I mean, I play Jake Jacobs, I play David Wells, I play two have passed, but I can hold my own,
No kidding. But when you play backgammon, and I don't want to get into the rules here, but, you know, you line these guys up on these funny long triangles, and you roll the dice, and the idea is essentially to move your people around the board and then stack them all on the other side.
Right.
And if any of your people are exposed, if you have one that's sitting there by himself and the other guy lands on it, then you got to go back to go and start all over again. That's backgammon.
Right.
But so much of that is dependent upon the roll of the die, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I would think that an amateur like me could, if I got hot, beat you, and you're one of the best players in the world.
You absolutely could. The whole thing is the more that you play, the more variance goes down, the luck starts dropping and the skill goes up.
Yeah.
So I won the largest tournament player, but according to XG ratings, which rates your plays, there are players way stronger than me.
Right. So on backgammon, you were kind of explaining this off the air. Let me see if I got it right. That is, whatever your die roll is, there is mathematically the most optimal move. Mm-hmm. And the computer knows that, and us humans don't always.
Right.
So as you make the move, the computer is ranking your moves, going, was that the best move? Was that the perfect play?
Right.
The idea would be to mimic the computer as much as possible, right?
Well, that's the idea for a lot of players. I don't particularly like playing like that. And I think a lot of people, that's what's turned some people off to backgammon, is that this whole computer, like, people just study and study. Backgammon's not fair. I mean, we played a little earlier, and you see, like, you can roll double six twice, three times. It's not fair, but that's backgammon. That's the beauty of it. So people who keep trying to emulate the computer, they get to a point where they don't know what the computer is going to do.
And the computer doesn't know if that other guy's sweating a little bit. Maybe he's reeling. Maybe I've intimidated him because I wore a crown.
That's
and came
true.
In with a cereal box with my picture on it or something like that.
Right. I was able to muster up the courage to finish the game, which is important.
He walks in with this glowing trophy of glass and metal with fancy etchings from his international tournament, and I had a cereal box with my picture posted on the front. So I guess if we were talking smack, you won that part of the game. But then when we played, I was crushing you. I was going to, double gammon you, or I was going to backgammon you.
Do you have any evidence of that? I mean, because that wasn't when the tape was rolling, which was nice.
So our guy is videotaping this, and he goes, and as I was wrapping you up, he goes, okay, I'm ready.
Which was perfect, which was literally perfect.
So then we roll tape, and then you proceed to destroy me.
Yeah.
And I was making some bad moves as we played. And I was a little nervous, and I'm a little rusty. And then you'd point something out to me, and I go, I know that. I know that if I got on my game, I would not have made the mistakes I was making.
For sure. I'm sure you wouldn't.
Yeah. But you're pretty confident that just given your superior play, you would be able to beat me. You told me also that backgammon is or isn't like chess. I mean, it goes back to ancient times, right?
Right. So chess, what happened was, like, rulers of countries, chess was a very popular game, but some people just aren't good at chess. Well, some people can't study, don't want. So they invented a variant, like, which is backgammon. It's a completely different game strategy-wise, but they invented this so, like, you could just be unlucky. So, which is a lot, probably saves a lot of people from being beheaded in the kingdom.
Because if you beat the king in a game of chess, he's angry. And you probably could every single time if you're a superior chess player.
Correct.
Backgammon, the king could get lucky.
Right.
Hey, the king won. Hey, what do you know? The king beat the guy.
Right.
Or the king loses, and everybody knows that was just because the king had unlucky rolls.
Exactly.
So he's able to save face.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of evolution of chess, or of backgammon.
I believe so.
What a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you make money when you win a tournament?
It depends on the tournament. So usually you're offsetting costs, travel costs, stuff like that. Certain tournaments are, you know, more lucrative than others.
How much did you win for this international whiz bang?
So what happens is that you get the prize pool, but then you have hedges and things like, so I worked out deals with people before I played. I ended up hedging 10-15% with one of the English players. And then as you get closer to the money round, you're hedging and hedging.
Hedging meaning if I win, I'll give you some of the winnings.
Right. So you're almost betting against yourself.
It's insurance.
But yeah, exactly. Because you don't want to go this far. So many people have bubble rounded. And
so they give you money to cover you a little bit. But then if you win, you got to pay them off.
Right.
They're betting on you.
Right.
And then you win the whole damn thing. You go, shoot, I shouldn't have done that. I would have got to keep all the cash.
Yeah, you feel okay about it. It's just,
you're not in it for the money.
No, not at all. I mean, it would be nice if it grew to a point where, like poker, a lot of the backgammon players.
Think about it.
So if you see like Gus Hansen and these really strong Danish poker players, they're all backgammon players, but they just switched to poker because poker's easier math and
growing?
It's a lot more cash.
Is backgammon growing? Do you
it is. This tournament that I just won is the largest one in the world, and every year it's grown exponentially. So, and it's in North Cyprus, and it's the Merritt Park Casinos. Arda is one of the best tournament directors, and it's a great value. Take
ESPN
the family.
ESPN does poker, and I've never understood. And at first I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This is the death of ESPN. Have they no shame? They're putting poker on ESPN. It's not a sport. It's a card game. Then you kind of watch and go, yeah, he's got a couple of aces. You know, you kind of get into
right.
it. The real mystery to me was that when they would then show reruns of tournaments, because part of the intrigue is like who's going to win and stuff like that. My sons and I found ourselves watching. We knew what was going to happen.
Right.
But you're watching a rerun of a poker game. Shame on us. I would like to see ESPN or somebody like that.
On the Ocho or something.
Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe not ESPN
right.
1, but maybe
right.
ESPN 6. You guys right. get some exposure because I really enjoyed playing against you today.
Well, if you look on like YouTube, you can find the World Series of Backgammon. And there were Andy Bell did some amazing videos, and I actually did commentary for some of them.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
It exists.
It exists.
What do I search for?
Just put in WSOB Backgammon, and
World
you'll find it.
Series
World Series of Backgammon.
Backgammon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're the color guy?
I'm the color guy. I'm the color guy. John Clark is one of the announcers. Kira Scott, who's one of the big poker announcers, that's how she started, was actually doing backgammon commentary.
It's 1:48. Okay, so let's pause here and just give us the score when we come back of your backgammon match with me. We did a video.
Right.
When we come back, we did a video also, and we'll post that later today or tomorrow or the next day so that you kind of get a chance to meet you online and also learn a bit more about the game here in Chicago. It's 1:49. This is WGN. Carter is, what do you go by? National champ? International champ? I mean, what sort of...
Oh, international champion for sure.
Seriously,
yeah.
What is...
No, for sure. That's it. No.
You do that...
Well, because the world championships are a smaller field. So there is an actual world championships in Monte Carlo. They play every year in July, August.
Yeah.
And but the field is only usually anywhere from 120 to 160.
And how many were in your tournament?
390.
390. Carter, Pfeiffer, Matic.
Yep.
So we were just kind of kidding off the air, but it was true. I was crushing you when we were playing
yes.
before the camera
yes.
rolled.
Yes, if that's what you need, John. Absolutely, yes.
Do you think you could have won that game? Because we quit before.
I don't
we
know.
Were...
If I got a 5 to anchor, possibly. So you never know. That's the joy of backgammon is you're really not out of it until the very end.
That is the nice thing, isn't it? Because like if you're pinned in chess, you know you have no hope. But you can actually get some good rolls. Your opponent can get some bad rolls. And if you just know the right moves to make, when all seems to be lost, you can still win in backgammon.
Yeah, that televised game, the first one that we played on, you were winning that game, and then just things, you didn't get out, and things went south.
A couple of bad moves didn't help. So we played three matches then afterwards, mm-hmm. and you won all of them.
Yeah, well, that was expected.
So are you a married fella? You got
kids? I am ridiculously happily married. Yeah. So her name is Christina. She's amazingly hot, funny, my protector. She's awesome.
The reason I ask is mm-hmm. I wonder, since you're not making money playing the tournaments.
Oh, being supported? Am I a kept man? Is that what you're saying?
How do you make a living?
So I'm also a sound engineer. I do work for ProMusica. And so I design high-end systems.
For things. Businesses and homes?
Well, mostly for audiophiles.
Really? So yeah. Audiophiles meaning a home. If I had a nice small place and
exactly.
I wanted a really monster system,
right.
You would be the guy that came in
well,
and said
you need this. Well, not monster, but you have to, you know, something that you really enjoy. Like, we'll determine what your hearing is like because everyone's hearing is different. We'll figure out what you really enjoy and then we'll tailor something for it.
Huh. So you're able to do that and yet still travel the world mm-hmm. and play in these tournaments.
Yeah.
So when's the next one that you're going to?
I go to LA next, and then my daughter's out there. She's going to college out there. So I'm going to see her, and we play in doubles, and we've won the doubles three times.
You and your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
What a nice thing.
Yeah.
So she shares your enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. And her trash talk is way stronger than mine. So it's pretty amazing.
Which makes me better than mine, too, by the way.
Right.
We've made a video of our match today so that you can, A, see how the game works, and B, get to know our guest, and then C, maybe get involved locally. The website to go to if you want to just find out more, follow the local scene, is what again?
Oh, it's ChicagoBarPoint.com.
Chicago Bar. What does that mean, Chicago Bar
Point? So that was the club, is the Chicago Bar Point. And you can look it up. It's also, it's Tilted Kilt. It's going to be on Tuesdays in Skokie on Carpenter Road. And then, the next international tournament is Dubrovnik, the same people, Merritt Park, who did my tournament that I just won in North Cyprus. They're doing Dubrovnik, so a bunch of Americans are going out and trying to keep the title lit for America. So.
What an honor it is and privilege, and how nice it is to meet somebody who's the best in the world at something. And Carter, that's you. Thanks for coming into our
studio.
Oh,
my God, my ego just can't take this.
I think it can. It's 1:57. The video will be up soon, and let's meet again. We'll meet up there at the Tilted Kilt, or the club where you guys play.
Sure.
And I will have polished my game off a little more.
Or you can come in April, my 50th birthday. You can come to Acres Dispensary, and we're all celebrating backgammon players and sound engineers and punk rockers from Exit, and it'll be a huge party in Vegas April 11th.
Yeah, I'm going to be there for that. Okay, well, I think I'll see you north instead of west.
Sounds good.